Around you, would you now be mindful of who is not here? There are quite a few of our congregation who is not here for one reason or another, because they're sick, because they're out of town, because they are shut in. Would you make a mental note to reach out to them today, send them a text, send them a card, say hello to them. They are a vital part of this congregation as well. Now that you're nice and comfy in your seats, would you stand, please? Would you receive this call to worship from John chapter 3? Let's remain standing for the few songs that follow.
From John 3, 1 through 8. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know from where it comes or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit."
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, also glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created. All for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Come the fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove. let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee. Never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As thou hast sought, so let me seek thy
go to that next slide, Carter, please. During Lent, we are reading Congregational Prayers of Confession. This is week two for us. On the second slide, you'll see your part in yellow. Would you join me aloud on that slide, please? Let's pray together. Forgiving Lord, we have fallen short time and again. You have given us your word, both in scripture and in son. You have promised us your presence, both in spirit and in community. And you have graced us with your kingdom, both in teaching and in service. Even so, we neglect, ignore, and reject your purposes for us. We do not love what you love. We do not embrace what you embrace. We do not defend what you have called us to defend. Have mercy on us, O God of all ages past and all hope for years to come. Forgive us for what we do and what we fail to do. And with your gifts, promises, and grace, continue working in our lives that we might receive full life in Jesus Christ now and forevermore. Amen.
Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you through days of toil when heart doth fail. God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day.
Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
All right, our young friends, you, if you would like, can head to the roots table. Miss Chelsea is heading that direction. You can join her if you would like. Andrea, thank you for leading us and singing so beautifully today, and Brandy for reading our text for the morning. Well, let's pray together, please. Oh God, you are our God, and earnestly this morning we seek you. Let thy goodness bind our wandering hearts to thee. Would you now pour forth through me the gift of preaching? Would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. For it's through Christ that we pray and do all things. Amen. Well, if you are just joining us, we began last Sunday our journey through Lent. You can see up on the slide what we talked about last week, as well as where we're going. Virgil Fry, our friend, will be here next Sunday to preach from Psalm 95. We said last week that the wilderness is that place, spiritually speaking, that we've been told that we don't want to go and that Christians should avoid at all costs. Out there is hunger and thirst and no place to plug in your many devices. But while that might cause some dismay and disquiet, it's also the one place left where we can find out what or whom we are truly hungry and thirsty for. Psalm 32 was a gathering song we began with. The poet there helped us recognize that our lives are absolutely valuable and alive, and at the same time entirely pointless and empty, as presently lived, that is. Psalm 32 had a thing or two to say to us about the weight of sin and the blessing of repentance. Today, we really get into the wilderness, so put on some hiking socks, lace up your boots, and let's go. Except, two steps in, there's already a problem. No, you did not forget your hat. Yes, you've got your sunscreen on, bug sprays in your bag, none of that. It's that you see right in front of you what you are going to have to traverse if you ever are going to get to wherever it is you're going. Some might call the mountain, some a hill, some a slight upwardly elevation change. But nobody mentioned to you that this wilderness foray would include inclines. You would have worked on your calves and quads more in the gym had you been told. Yeah, this is going to be a problem. For the original Israeli choir for whom Psalm 121 was written, their thoughts were similar. They saw the mountains, the hills, the slight elevation change, and they knew that in order to get to Jerusalem from their outlying regions, in order to get to the great city of God to celebrate the nation's festivals, in order to get to the holy temple where they could worship God, they would have to take a pilgrimage that would involve significant risk. Up the trail they would have to go, since Jerusalem was tucked nicely into the Judean mountain range. The journey from the countryside was no easy task, not if you were young, not if you were old, not if you had bad knees, not if you were growing a child within your womb. The hike itself could do people in. Jesus must have had it easy for the last leg of his trip, riding into town on a donkey. That would be nice. But the trudge itself didn't just bring about huffing and puffing. There were also looming threats. Do you remember the story that Jesus once told about a compassionate Samaritan? He was one who came across another man, bloodied and broken, beaten by robbers on his way to Jericho. That man, the text says, he had gone down from Jerusalem. He descended, which means, of course, to get to Jerusalem, he had to go up. And now here he was going back down, and on his way, mugged by a shameless den of thieves. My guess is that Jesus didn't just conjure up dangers of the Jerusalem road out of thin air. He was well aware of the perils associated with the trip, with a possibility of bandits lurking around any corner, and without any video cameras to deter any thoughts of larceny, out-of-towners like these Psalm 121 pilgrims would have to chance it. I lift my eyes up to the hills is an expression of anxiety, of unease, and you wonder how in the world you're going to make it. Back when I was youth minister here, each July I would bring some of our teenagers to Sipapu, New Mexico, to a camp called Cross Training, run by Abilene Christian University. You may remember me doing that. Several of our youth went with us, and here's a picture of that one. And King is up in that picture. He is on the far right. There's Chelsea and myself, the others you may recognize. There's Keyshawn, there's Taylor up there. DeAndre, too. Each morning before the sun warmed up the earth, we would wake up, we'd put on jackets in the middle of summertime. We'd head to a chilly and dewy open field about 50 yards from the main lodge, crossing a bridge over a lovely stream to get there. One of the adult volunteers would lead us in a little daybreak stretching to get our blood moving, the two camp directors would tell us. But I'm pretty sure it was always just a rouge because breakfast preparations weren't finished yet. Anyway, we would stretch and yoga for 15 minutes or so, struggling to balance on one foot, groaning as we leaned down to touch the ground, feeling our backs pop as we would reach up to the sky. Can we go eat already? Before we'd circle up to hear the day's announcements and walk back to the lodge, one of the directors, my friend Bob, who has preached here before, he would always end our Get Our Blood Flowing workout with Psalm 121. King and Taylor, you may remember this. Look up, he would say. And he would extend his arms to the side, his palms open. And we'd look up to the mountain before us. It'd slope a good 25 degrees in some parts. I lift my eyes to the hills, he began, as if he were the only person present, but speaking on behalf of us all. I lift my eyes to the hills, and then the question, where does my help come from? And then the response, my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Before we'd eat breakfast, before we'd go off to worship, before we'd spend an hour in solitude, before we ate lunch, before we'd serve in the surrounding tiny and poor communities, before we'd take a 5-mile hike, before we'd eat dinner, before we broke into small groups for Bible study, before we went to bed to wake up the next morning and do it all over again, before we returned to Texas to whatever families and schools and challenges and joys we would face, Bob wanted us to hear this. The mountain is big. The hill can be menacing. The journey can be tough. Yet know this, my help and your help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. You hear Psalm 121 differently when you are standing at the base of a mountain than when you are sitting comfortably between four walls made of concrete. You also apparently hear it differently when you sing it rather than just say it. Psalm 121 is a collection in the Hebrew hymnal known as the Songs of Ascent. There are 15 of them in total, and a few weeks from now we'll consider another of them, Psalm 130. While we cannot be positive, we weren't there, there's a good chance that these Songs of Ascent were written and sung by Israeli travelers on their way up to Jerusalem, heading to the festivals, heading to worship, hence Songs of Ascent. The themes in this collection reflected that pilgrimage in from the surrounding areas. The ascent songs spoke of going to the house of the Lord. They sang benedictions of blessings and peace. There were calls for confession and reminders to hope. They gave thanks for protection in the past and entrusted the future to God. For persons afraid and anxious, either by the hike itself or by the lurking dangers, who wondered how they were going to make it, who asked, "Where does my help come from?" The songs of ascent, and our psalm in particular, gave the response, "My help and your help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth." Maybe one reason they sang was for entertainment, to pass the time more quickly. Maybe the song served as a distraction from the slog of the slanted rise, always up, never down, not even level. Sing to engage the mind rather than focusing on tired legs and perspiration pouring off their brows. That's what Chelsea and I used to do with Cora when she was little, when she could no longer fit in the hiking backpack I used to carry her in. Maybe ages 3 to 5 or 6, and Chelsea and I would want to put in some good miles on a trail, maybe 3 to 5 or 6. She was fine for the most part, just a little slower than she is now. When she'd pick up every leaf and twig she would find and jump from exposed root to exposed root. But on the steepest parts where I could not carry her, she would have to walk. To get her through those sections, to entertain her and distract her from the difficult climb, to prevent her from complaining, we would tell her stories. We would make up stories. Once upon a time, there was a very tall tree, and at the top of that tree was a little bitty house where a curious and magical creature once lived. We tell real ones, "You were born on December 20th, 2011. And on the way to the hospital, your mom, who was in active labor, wanted to stop by the bank so she could deposit a few checks." True story. Cora would be thoroughly engaged as we went up and up, and she would laugh at the funny parts, and she would ask clarifying questions. And lo and behold, and before she knew it, Cora would make it to the top. And we would be so proud of our little hiker, and we would celebrate by sitting down and eating a snack. Maybe in the songs of ascent, there's some of that going on. But I'm fairly confident it's more than just that. The songs, and Psalm 121 in particular, are not given to distract them, but to give them traction, to provide steady footing, to give them strength to take the next step and the next one and the one after that and the one after that, no matter how high or how far or what intimidating troublemakers may be hiding around the bend. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. The hazards are unknown and the journey is hard, but the protection is strong and the support is certain. That's enough to go on for now. If the first two verses of Psalm 121 are the departure point, then the rest of it gets the feet into motion. God will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God, whose eyes never get tired or droopy, will hold you secure, even though you may stumble, even though you grow weary. You can keep going because God's attentive hand has got you. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. God becomes our shade, a cloud in the afternoon heat. And God becomes our warmth, a pillar of fire when it gets dark. And neither will ever leave its place in front of you. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. That which is wicked will not have its way with you. From the moment you wake up till the moment you lay your head down, God will sustain you. God will assume responsibility for the entirety of your days. When when it comes to the trip to Jerusalem, or when it comes to matters of faith, or when it comes to the Lenten wilderness, this kind of traction and that kind of God is what a sojourner desperately needs. To be honest, sometimes it all sounds too good to be true. God will always watch over you. No harm will ever befall you. Tell that to the man in Jesus' story who lay wounded at the side of the road for hours, whose brokenness revolts the very religious people you would have thought would stop and care. Or to the millions who suffer at the scorching hands of a quaking earth or a warring nation. Or to the persons in this room who wonder why the bad stuff always seems to happen to them, even though they seek God, even though they pray, even though they tithe. Why these mountains and why me? I don't have any stock answers to hand out, unfortunately. All I have today is a psalm to give and a song to sing. One that promises that God will not doze off when it comes to watching over you. One that promises that God will shield you from sunstrokes and shelter you from night sweats. One that promises that God will guard you when you leave and when you return. Since Lent deliberately reminds us that we are not in control of very much at all, now is as good a time as any to find out if those promises hold water. And the best way I know of to find out is actually threefold. One, to throw on some boots and go. Out in the spiritual wilderness, all that we can do is release ourselves into God's care. By acknowledging our needs and our anxieties, and confessing that the burden of the world's sin has laden us with trouble, and when we recognize our human fragility and weakness, we can sense God's ever-present counterweight. God will not let your foot slip. Two, go together. We don't journey into this Lenten wilderness alone. To do so would be foolish. With the songs of ascent on our lips, we go together, not only for protection from troubles waiting in the shadows, but also because we can carry each other, lift one another up when tired, offer to carry someone else's load when needed. We're not racing out here, you versus me. I'm not trying to beat anyone to a magical finish line. We are all heading in the same direction, moving forward with perseverance, looking to Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, and who, for the sake of the joy set before him, endured the cross and disregarded its shame, and since then has taken a seat at the right hand of the throne of God. And three, look back. It's okay during Lent, and possibly even mandatory, to pause, to look back, and to see how far we've come. Look how far you have come. There's great beauty in that. God has indeed been faithful in your life. Yes, heartbreak. Yes, suffering. Yes, shame. Also, faithfulness. God has kept your life. God has kept you during your going in and your coming out. And if God has done that, God will keep doing it. God will keep you. God will keep your children. God will keep your parents. Will keep your friends. Will keep the world. When you are ready, turn back around, face the mountains, the hills, the slight elevation change. The question, from where will my help come from? The response, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. It's time to take your next faithful step. Let's go. And together we can say or type, amen and amen. Let's stand as we worship together.
As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, O Lord. We need to be in your presence. Surround us, Lord. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, O Lord. We need to be in your presence. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, Lord.
Out here in the Lenten wilderness, we are sustained. We are sustained by God who gives us all that we need. For today, that means this bread and this cup at this table at this time. This bread, which is, of course, Christ's body given for us. The cup, which is, of course, his blood given for us as well. We receive both, and we are sustained by them. As we do, if you would like to help share the bread and the cup with the congregation at large, you can come forward in just a moment and help me do that, and we will divvy up the congregation. So let's pray together, and we'll eat and drink. As we have just prayed in song, O God, we now pray with words that you would indeed surround us. Surround us as you surround Jerusalem in our journeys and our days. Thank you for this bread which feeds us, and this cup which gives us something to drink. For both remind us of Jesus who is with us. For it's through him that we pray and do all things. Amen.
spirit longs for you, my heart belongs to you. You are my desire. So fill me with your fire, Jehovah of heaven, restore the spark in me. Remove my blindness, light the dark for me. Won't you heal my broken spirit? Won't you take away my shame? Fill me with your fire. Satisfy my soul. Fill me with your fire. And make me whole. My spirit longs for you. My heart belongs to you. You are my desire. So fill me with your fire. Satisfy my soul. My spirit longs for you, my heart belongs to you, you are my desire, so fill me with your fire, fill me with your fire. Start a fire in me. Let the flames drop in. Turn away the dark. Holy fire of God. Start a fire in me. Let the flames.
All right, so let's give because we have been given. So you can give financially. You can give something in the offering tray that's about to come by in just a few moments. You can also drop your cards in there. You can give online. You can bring it to the office, and we'll take care of it however you choose to give it. And thank you, as always. Let's pray together, please. For what you give that sustains, we give you thanks. And help us also to be givers for what we have, for what you've given us to help sustain those around us. With these funds that are given today, we pray that as always your kingdom would come, that your will would be done. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you before our benediction. Steve Sanford, a couple of weeks ago, told us all about the fundraising gala for the campus ministry, The Point. That is going on Tuesday, and I assume there's a little bit of space available if you want to be a part of that. Steve Sanford is here, and you can have that conversation with him. Sunny Glen Children's Home, a children's home that we have been supporting for years. They are coming by on March 14th to pick up a few items, and several of you have already brought some of these and placed it in the barrel out in the lobby. Thank you for doing that. They will be here on March 14th if you want to provide something else for them to take. All right, we are serving food to the Impact Church, which is downtown. This is March 19th. We need volunteers to help prepare lunches and to serve at Impact. This is two Sundays from now, March 19th. There will be folks who gather in the fellowship hall at 8:30 in the a.m. to begin that. So if you are available at that time to come and help out and do that, then please do. If you have any questions, Steve is your connection there. After service, after classes, we'll take everything that we have put together and bring it down to Impact. If you want to provide a little bit of food, some desserts, some prepackaged desserts, you can bring those couple days before the 19th, or just bring them on the 19th, and we'll stick those in the lunch bags. Yes, did you have something else, or is that you were going to say that? Okay. And as always, if you want to give a few bucks to help cover some of the costs, then you can do that and talk to Steve about it. Thursday class continues this week, 10:30 a.m., in person and on Zoom, if you would like to be a part of that. And of course, our Wednesday night prayer group meets here in the lobby at 7 p.m. that you can be a part of, too. Up on the screen, we have classes for folks of all ages, and I hope that you choose to stick around and be a part of one of these today. All right, there we go. Would you stand, please? Would you receive this benediction, this last part from Psalm 121, which I rewrote just a little bit for you. May the Lord keep you from all evil. May the Lord keep your life. May the Lord keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Go forth in peace.